Right now, there's a local service business down in Parle with a monthly marketing budget of like R5,000, and they are systematically outperforming a massive regional competitor who's spending R20,000 a month.
It sounds completely backwards, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it defies all logic. And they're doing it by basically exploiting a mathematical loophole in how Google's artificial intelligence interprets human language.
Right.
So you might be sitting there staring at your own Google Ads dashboard, wondering how your monthly budget just, evaporated in a matter of days with zero leads in your inbox.
Which is incredibly frustrating.
Oh, totally. And I think the default assumption for most of us is that you simply didn't spend enough to compete, right? Like the big guys just outspent you.
Yeah, and that assumption is, well, it's the primary reason small and medium businesses just bleed capital on these digital platforms.
Wow, really?
Absolutely. The instinct when an ad campaign fails is almost always to pump more money into the system. Think, oh, I just need a bigger budget.
Right, throw money at the problem.
Exactly. But we are analyzing a strategic guide today titled Mastering Google Ads Efficiency in South Africa. It's sourced from Nifty Studio, which is a digital marketing agency based in Parle.
Right, the Parle agency.
Yeah, and their central thesis forces a really fundamental shift in how you deploy capital. The goal is never brute financial force. It's about microscopic structural efficiency.
Okay, I love that. Microscopic efficiency. So our objective for this deep dive is to basically isolate the specific mechanical failures, the invisible leaks where all that money is actually going.
Yeah, because it is going somewhere.
Right, because as the Nifty Studio guide makes super clear, when you don't understand the underlying architecture of Google's auction system, the algorithm just defaults to spending your money in the most expansive, least efficient way possible.
Right. The system is designed to spend your budget. And the confusion really begins with a fundamental misunderstanding of the pricing model itself.
How so?
Well, business owners often approach Google Ads expecting, like, a standardized rate card.
Oh, yeah. Like buying a billboard or a magazine ad.
Exactly. They want to know the fixed cost of acquiring a customer. But the text emphasizes right away that there is no fixed price.
None at all.
None. The cost of visibility on Google is dictated by a real-time, highly volatile auction engine.
An auction, okay. I know anyone running a business is probably familiar with the concept of a cost per click or
Yeah.
CPC, but the variance detailed in the South African market data here is just, it's staggering.
Really is.
I mean, we are looking at a spectrum that starts at roughly R3 per click and then scales violently upward, like reaching R300 for a single click.
Yeah, and just to be clear on that is just for a user to land on the website.
Right. There's no guaranteed sale at that R300 mark. You're paying $300 just for a maid.
Exactly. The variance is extreme, and it's driven entirely by this mathematical concept of lifetime value or LTV.
Okay, break that down for us.
Sure. The text segments this into tiers to kind of illustrate the mechanics. So in the moderate tier, think local services like plumbers, neighborhood mechanics, maybe independent bakeries. You typically see CPCs hovering between R10 and R30.
Okay, that feels somewhat reasonable.
Right. And that's because the lifetime value of, say, a single plumbing repair might be a few thousand rand. So the auction naturally caps out at a bid that sustains a profitable margin for those specific businesses.
Makes sense. But then we look at the highly competitive tier in the guide. Legal services, corporate insurance, specialized financial advisors.
That's a whole different ball game.
Yeah, this is where we see that R100 to R300 per click reality. The barrier to entry just seems artificially inflated.
Well, it isn't artificial, actually. It's a direct reflection of capitalization and customer retention models.
Okay, how so?
Think about the underlying mechanism of, like, a corporate insurance policy. If a massive financial institution acquires a single new policyholder, that client might pay monthly premiums for 20 or 30 years.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The LTV is astronomical. Therefore, the mathematical ceiling for what they are willing to pay to acquire that customer, their customer acquisition cost, is equally astronomical.
So they can afford to drop R300 on a click because a win pays out for 3 decades.
Precisely. You have a massive volume of highly capitalized businesses aggressively programming their algorithms to win the exact same incredibly narrow set of high-intent search terms.
Okay, but the environment you're describing sounds like a closed ecosystem where only the absolute largest players can even survive.
It does look that way from the outside.
Right. Like if a boutique two-person financial advisory firm in Cape Town wants to bid on wealth management near me, they are entering an auction where national banks have just authorized the AI to bid R250 per click.
Yeah.
The math suggests the small firm should just give up, right? Pack it in.
Well, the math suggests they should give up if they play the game using the national bank's methodology.
Ah.
And this introduces the core philosophy of the Nifty Studio Guide. The small firm does not compete by escalating their bids.
Because they can't.
Right. They compete by understanding that the National Bank's R20,000 budget is likely operating with a massive percentage of waste.
Okay, so this brings us right back to that opening example.
Exactly. The text definitively claims that a R5,000 budget run with absolute structural efficiency will outperform a R20,000 budget run poorly every single time.
We have to break down the mechanics of that claim because just on the surface, it defies basic financial logic. How does a budget that is mathematically 75% smaller actually capture more market share?
Well, we have to calculate the drag on that larger budget. Let's analyze the R20,000 campaign for a second.
Okay.
Massive corporate campaigns are notoriously broad. They rely on volume. Because of structural inefficiencies in how their keywords are matched or, where their ads are actually placed, the data often shows that up to 80% of their clicks are coming from users who have zero actual intent to purchase their specific service.
Wait, 80%?
Up to 80%, yeah. Their ads trigger for tangential searches, academic queries, or like users in completely the wrong geographic region.
So the R20,000 is almost theoretical. In reality, the algorithm is basically burning R16,000 of that budget on irrelevant data processing, leaving only R4,000 of actual, localized, high-intent visibility.
That's the math. The R20,000 budget has an 80% drag coefficient. Now analyze the R5,000 budget.
Okay, let's look at the little guy.
If the architecture of that smaller campaign is laser-focused, meaning the advertiser has restricted the algorithm from making broad assumptions, and every single click is a highly qualified user actively seeking that exact service, the drag coefficient drops to near zero.
So 100% of that R5,000 is doing real kinetic work in the market.
Exactly. The R5,000 budget achieves greater meaningful market penetration simply because it isn't subsidizing Google's exploratory machine learning.
That is wild. But, the psychological trap this creates for a business owner is super
It
dangerous.
was a massive trap.
Yeah, because if you are running the inefficient R20,000 campaign and the leads dry up, the immediate reaction is that the market is too expensive. You just assume the national banks are outspending you.
Right, you blame the competition.
Exactly. So you scramble to allocate, I don't know, R30,000 for the following month. You're essentially just pouring more capital into a machine that is programmed to waste it.
You are literally funding the inefficiency.
So how do we stop it?
To reverse this, we have to look at the specific instructions advertisers give the platform. We need to examine the semantic layer where the algorithm translates human language into ad placements.
Okay, getting technical.
A little bit. The guide points to one specific setting as the primary catalyst for all this wasted spend in South Africa, and that is the match type.
Okay, the match type. The text highlights a severe structural issue with using what they call broad match as opposed to exact match.
Yes, this is huge.
I want to get into the natural language processing here because the standard advice from Google's own automated recommendations is almost always to use broad match, right?
Always, they strongly push it.
They claim their AI is sophisticated enough to understand user intent. But the Nifty Studio Guide explicitly tells advertisers to completely reject that recommendation.
And they are right to do so. We have to separate the theoretical capability of AI from the economic reality of the advertiser.
Right.
Broad match relies on semantic vector embeddings. It tells the algorithm to show your ad not just for your specific keyword, but for any query the neural network calculates is, contextually related.
So the algorithm is just mapping relationships between words.
Yes.
Let's track how that mapping actually behaves in the wild. Like, give me an example.
Sure. Let's say a boutique sports retailer in Pretoria bids on the keyword running shoes using broad match. What is the algorithm's actual logic chain there?
Okay, yeah. Walk me through it.
The algorithm processes running and maps it to a vast web of associated concepts based on billions of historical data points.
Right.
It connects running to athletics, which connects to marathons, which connects to training schedules.
All somewhat related.
But it also maps running to equestrian.
Wait, like horses?
Exactly.
Mm.
Which maps to horse racing, which maps to betting odds. Because the algorithm's primary directive, unless you strictly constrain it, is to maximize the delivery of your budget. It wants to spend the money. So it will begin serving your ad for queries like how to train for a marathon or even local horse racing results.
That's insane. It's essentially a high-speed game of telephone where the original commercial intent gets completely distorted at every single algorithmic node.
That's a great way to put it.
So the user searching for horse racing results clicks the ad out of sheer confusion, realizes they are looking at human sneakers, and immediately hits the back button.
Yep.
And the advertiser just paid R25 for a machine hallucination.
Exactly. And the problem is compounded significantly in the South African context.
Oh, because of localization.
Yes. The nifty studio text points out a crucial geographic blind spot. These semantic algorithms are trained predominantly on massive data sets from North America and Europe.
Right, Silicon Valley data.
Exactly. They learn the colloquialisms, idioms, and search behaviors of those specific populations. When you deploy a broad match algorithm in a linguistically and culturally diverse market like South Africa, the machine's ability to accurately deduce intent degrades incredibly rapidly.
So the algorithm is applying a Silicon Valley understanding of context to a user in Johannesburg.
Yes, and the resulting assumptions are going to be economically catastrophic for the business that's funding those clicks.
Which is why the guide advocates so strongly for exact match.
Precisely. Exact match fundamentally alters the power dynamic between the advertiser and the machine.
It takes the power back.
It strips the algorithm of its creative license. You are dictating that the ad only triggers when the user's search query matches the specific parameters you have defined, with very little deviation allowed.
So you are no longer relying on the AI to guess the user's intent.
Right. You are mandating that the user demonstrate clear intent before a single cent is spent.
Okay, I love that. But the algorithm's misinterpretation of intent isn't limited to just the words users type, right?
No, it's got it all.
Because the nifty studio text points out that this context gap is arguably most destructive when we examine where the ads are physically placed across the internet.
Yes. The guide draws a very hard line regarding network placement.
Tell me about the networks.
It strongly advises small businesses to entirely disable the Google Display Network when they're running a search campaign designed for lead generation or direct sales.
Disable it entirely. Okay, but the temptation of the display network is pretty obvious. I mean, Google promotes it as a way to reach users across millions of partner websites, news blogs, mobile apps.
Massive reach.
Right. Massive reach sounds inherently valuable. Why does the text classify it as a trap for smaller budgets?
Well, we have to analyze the psychology of the click. The display network operates on the mechanics of interruption.
Interruption. Okay.
Whereas the search network operates on the mechanics of fulfillment.
Let's define the difference in user state there, because that feels important.
It's vital.
When I am on the search network, meaning I actively navigated to google.com and I typed in emergency plumber near me, my psychological state is highly active, right?
Exactly. You have a defined problem.
Yeah.
And you are actively seeking a commercial solution.
That is intent fulfillment. I am demanding an answer.
Right. Now contrast that with the display network. The user is on a mobile app playing a game, or maybe they're reading a political article on a news aggregator.
They're just chilling.
Their psychological state is passive or entertained. So when your ad for plumbing services suddenly appears as a banner between paragraphs of a news story, you are attempting to interrupt their current objective.
Even if the user physically clicks the ad, the quality of that click has to be fundamentally different.
Night and day. If I'm trying to close a pop-up ad on mobile weather app, for example, and I accidentally tap the banner, Google still registers that as a click.
And the advertiser is charged.
Instantly.
Yeah.
The text notes that these accidental clicks, or clicks driven by just fleeting low-intent curiosity, they persistently drain the budget.
It's like a slow leak.
Yeah. A massive global brand like Coca-Cola uses the display network because their metric for success is long-term brand saturation. They're literally just buying eyeballs, buying impressions.
Right.
But a small business in Parle requires immediate, measurable return on investment. They need phone calls, not impressions.
Subsidizing accidental clicks on a mobile flashlight app is a devastating leak in a R5000 budget.
It will destroy it.
So this fundamental disconnect between the machine's desire for massive reach and the advertiser's need for high intent, it brings us to the most modern iteration of this problem.
The black boxes.
Exactly. Google is aggressively pushing advertisers away from manual control entirely. They want everyone moving toward fully automated black box campaign types.
Yes.
And the nifty studio text specifically warns against deploying Performance Max, or PMX, as they call it,
yeah,
and AI Max without extreme caution.
The drive toward total platform automation is, honestly, the defining tension in digital advertising today.
Explain PMX for us.
PMX is an automated monolith. You no longer build distinct search or display campaigns. You just upload your visual assets, write some text, set a budget, and the machine learning model takes complete control.
It just does everything.
Everything. It decides dynamically whether to serve your ad on search, display, YouTube, Gmail, or Google Maps.
But if the AI is theoretically getting smarter, why does the guide explicitly state, don't use PMX unless you're running e-commerce?
That is a huge caveat.
Right. That excludes millions of service-based businesses. Why are they excluded?
We have to look at how a neural network trains itself. Machine learning requires continuous, unambiguous, labeled data to function correctly.
Okay.
The algorithm needs a concrete feedback loop to understand which specific variables lead to success.
And e-commerce provides that loop.
It provides the perfect data loop. A user clicks an ad, browses a catalog, adds a physical product to a cart, and completes a credit card transaction.
Boom. Clear signal.
Exactly. The algorithm registers that closed transaction. It analyzes the thousands of behavioral signals associated with that specific user, and then updates its predictive model to find more users with identical signal profiles.
So the e-commerce transaction is absolute proof of commercial intent. There's zero ambiguity. But what happens to the PMX algorithm when, say, a local roofing company uses it? A user might click an ad, spend 3 minutes on the site, and then fill out a contact form to request a quote.
And that is where things fall apart. A contact form is a highly ambiguous signal.
Why? They reached out.
Because the user might be a genuine lead. Or they might be a competitor scoping out pricing. Or a university student doing research. Or just a bot filling out forms.
The transaction isn't closed.
Right. Without the hard, unambiguous data of a credit card checkout, the PMX algorithm struggles to optimize its targeting. It completely lacks the volume and the quality of signals required to refine its predictive model.
So the algorithm is effectively starved of truth. And when it doesn't have the truth, what does it do? It falls back on its default programming, volume and reach.
Precisely. The text warns that unleashing PMX without a healthy, continuous stream of hard transaction data results in the algorithm indiscriminately throwing budget across YouTube and Gmail.
Chasing ghost leads.
Chasing low-quality engagements, yeah, because it literally cannot mathematically distinguish between a good lead and a bad one.
The guide also mentions AI Max, which promises broader automated targeting by finding new adjacent audiences.
And the risk with AI Max mirrors the risk of broad match, but applied at the audience level rather than the keyword level.
Okay.
It uses behavioral signals to assume relevance. If you lack strict guardrails, the AI will expand its targeting parameters until your budget is totally exhausted on users who possess superficial behavioral similarities to your customers, but lack the actual commercial intent to purchase anything.
Okay, so the recurring thesis here is really clear. Automation without strict boundaries is financial suicide for a small business.
Without a doubt.
But this presents a real logistical problem, doesn't it?
How so?
Well, if we establish that human oversight is required to constrain the machine, how do we practically apply those constraints? I mean, a business owner can't manually review every single algorithmic decision in real time.
No, they can't. You apply constraints by engineering the data environment the algorithm lives in.
Okay, engineering the environment.
You have to dictate exactly what constitutes a successful outcome. And you must aggressively penalize the algorithm when it deviates from your parameters.
Penalize it. I like that. How?
The foundation of this control is conversion tracking.
Right. The text states, you cannot optimize what you cannot measure. It seems obvious, but the guide implies that a staggering number of businesses operate without this foundation.
It's frightening how common it is. Operating without flawless conversion tracking means both the advertiser and the bidding algorithms are essentially flying blind. Yeah. If you do not install the specific tracking pixels and, you know, the dynamic number insertion protocols required to trace a user from an ad click all the way to a phone call or form submission, the algorithm has absolutely no performance data to optimize against.
Okay, so let's say I tell Google my goal is simply to drive traffic to my site and I don't give it a mechanism to track actual sales. What does the algorithm actually do with my budget?
It optimizes for the only metric it can see. The click itself.
Okay.
It will analyze its massive network to find the cheapest, highest volume clicks available, completely agnostic to the quality of the user behind the click.
Because I told it I just wanted clicks.
Exactly. It will drain your budget on bot traffic, accidental display clicks, and those low-intent broad matches we talked about.
Because it thinks it's doing a good job. It successfully fulfilled my poorly defined objective. It got me traffic.
Exactly. The text is absolutely adamant on this point. Every single decision regarding budget allocation must be dictated by hard conversion data.
Leads, calls, sales.
Yes. Never, ever by vanity metrics like clicks or impressions.
Okay, so once we have defined a successful conversion for the algorithm, how do we build that penalization mechanism you mentioned? How do we explicitly tell the machine what not to do?
The text points to a specific, highly manual workflow. It's the daily analysis of the search terms report combined with negative keywords.
Okay, the search terms report. Let's dig into that.
It's arguably the most critical diagnostic tool in the entire platform.
Why?
Well, while your keyword is the theoretical concept you bid on, the search terms report reveals the unfiltered reality. It displays the exact character-for-character queries that real human beings typed into Google immediately before your ad was served and clicked.
Oh, so this is where we uncover the machine's hallucinations.
Exactly.
Give me an example of how that looks.
Let's say you bid on exact match for a corporate tax accountant. You check your search terms report, and you might discover that the algorithm somehow allowed your ad to trigger for accountant salary expectations 2026.
Wow. Okay, completely different intent. Someone looking for a job or salary data, not someone looking to hire an accountant.
Right. And you paid for that click.
So what's the move?
When you identify that mismatch between your commercial intent and the algorithm's execution, you deploy a negative keyword.
You block it.
You extract the word salary and add it to your negative keyword list. You're hard coding a boundary into the algorithm, literally instructing it to instantly disqualify your ad from any future option where the user's query contains that specific term.
It sounds like gardening, like pulling weeds.
That's a perfect analogy.
It requires relentless manual intervention. If you neglect the search terms report, you aren't just wasting the R30 on that one bad click today.
No, it's much worse than that.
Because the algorithm assumes the click was valid, right? Since you didn't penalize it.
Yes. It mathematically reinforces that neural pathway. It will actively seek out more queries related to salary tomorrow, multiplying the inefficiency over and over.
Neglecting negative keywords leads to rapid algorithmic drift.
The text actually identifies this specific failure as the primary reason accounts quietly bleed out over time.
Just death by a thousand irrelevant clicks.
Yep. But the systemic benefits of aggressively pruning your negative keywords, they extend far beyond just stopping the immediate leak.
Really? How so?
Constraining the algorithm actually alters how Google evaluates your entire business within the auction engine itself.
Okay, this introduces the most critical mathematical leverage point discussed in the whole guide, doesn't it? The ad quality score.
Yes, the quality score.
It operates like a hidden multiplier within the auction. If you understand how it's calculated, you can mathematically force Google to charge you less for the exact same click your competitor is buying.
Exactly. And to understand why, you have to understand Google's motivation.
Okay.
The quality score is a mechanism Google uses to protect the integrity of its core product.
Which is the search engine.
Right. Google's existential priority is ensuring that when a user searches for something, the results, including the ads, are hyper-relevant.
Because if the ads are irrelevant, users stop clicking and Google's revenue collapses.
Exactly. Therefore, Google does not simply award the top ad position to the highest financial bidder. They utilize an ad rank formula.
And what's the formula?
It's essentially your maximum bid multiplied by your quality score.
Okay, so let's break down the algorithmic components of that score. The Nifty Studio Guide details three specific pillars that determine whether you receive a low score or, you know, an excellent score.
Right. The first pillar is expected click-through rate.
Okay.
The algorithm analyzes historical data to predict the statistical probability that your ad will be clicked when it's shown for a specific query.
That makes sense. What's the second?
The second pillar is ad relevance. This is a purely semantic analysis. Does the text within your actual ad perfectly mirror the intent of the user's search query?
Okay, so if the user searches for emergency 247 plumber, and your ad headline just says John's Plumbing Co.,
yeah,
your relevant score drops.
Big time.
But if your headline dynamically reads 247 emergency plumber dispatched in 10 mins, the algorithm detects high semantic alignment.
Exactly. You match the intent perfectly. And then the final pillar is the landing page experience.
Where they go after the click.
Yes. The algorithm crawls the specific web page you send the user to. It analyzes load speed, mobile responsiveness, and most importantly, continuity.
Continuity. So if your highly relevant ad promises an emergency plumber, but the landing page is just a generic homepage talking about bathroom renovations,
the algorithm detects a friction point in the user journey. The promise of the ad doesn't match the destination, and it downgrades your score.
So the financial consequences of this three-pillar evaluation, they must be profound.
They make or break a campaign.
If a business owner ignores this and just operates with a low-quality score, they are actively being penalized by the auction engine.
Heavily. A low-quality score triggers a deeply punitive pricing model. Google calculates that your ad provides a poor user experience. So to compensate for the risk of showing a bad ad and annoying their user, the algorithm forces you to pay a severe premium on your cost per click.
Wow.
While simultaneously suppressing your ad's visibility. They'll often banish it to the very bottom of the page or even the second page of results, where click-through rates essentially approach zero.
Ouch. But when an advertiser aligns those three pillars perfectly, when the exact match keyword, the hyper-specific ad copy, and the optimized landing page all mirror the user's exact intent, the tech states they achieve a good or excellent score.
And the financial reward for this is massive.
What are we talking?
A discount of 20 to 40% on the cost per click.
Wait, 20 to 40%?
Yes. A discount applied automatically by the algorithm without the advertiser changing their maximum bid by a single cent.
We really have to emphasize the math on this.
Let's do it.
If the R20,000 corporate competitor is bidding R50 for a click, but their broad, sloppy campaign architecture gives them a poor quality score,
their ad rank is suppressed.
Right. And if our local R5,000 business bids only R30 for that exact same click, but they have meticulously engineered an excellent quality score through exact match and ruthless negative keywords,
their ad rank multiplier pushes them above the corporation.
The local business secures the premier position on the page.
Yes. And because of the VCG auction mechanics Google employs, they actually end up paying less than their R30 maximum bid to maintain that position.
That is incredible. The algorithm mathematically rewards relevance over raw capital.
It's the equalizer. This is the structural reality that validates the text's opening claim.
The R5000 budget wins because it has eliminated the 80% drag of irrelevant broad matches.
It avoided the display network traps.
And it weaponized the quality score discount to buy premium market share at wholesale prices.
Exactly. It's a phenomenal deconstruction of the ecosystem by Nifty Studio.
It really is. The South African Google Ads landscape is fiercely competitive, and the entry costs in certain sectors are punishing.
Very punishing.
But the architecture of the auction dictates that victory belongs to the obsessive, not just the wealthy.
That's the ultimate takeaway. The core directive for anyone managing these budgets, or even auditing the agencies managing them, is to audit for structural efficiency.
Every single RAN must be restricted to users actively demonstrating commercial intent.
You have to stop funding the machine's exploratory hallucinations.
You demand precise measurement through conversion tracking.
You engineer relevance to capture that quality score discount.
And you maintain aggressive manual human oversight over automated black boxes like PMX.
You have to. The Nifty Studio Guide provides a real blueprint for survival here, but, you know, in doing so, it exposes a really profound systemic contradiction in the digital economy today.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, Google, as an entity, is designing its architecture to mandate broad, hands-off automation.
Right, they want to do the driving.
They are building an infrastructure that asks advertisers to just surrender control to the AI.
Trust us.
Exactly. Yet, the empirical data dictates that the only way for a small business to achieve real financial efficiency is to actively resist that automation.
To fight it.
Yes. It requires forcing the machine back into rigid, human-defined parameters.
Man, the tension is absolute. It is the algorithm's mandate for scale directly colliding with the business owner's mandate for precision.
Which leads you, as the advertiser, with a really critical paradigm to consider as you examine your own data after this.
What's the thought?
In a digital landscape that is accelerating toward total AI autonomy, where the platforms themselves are trying to abstract away your control, is the ultimate competitive advantage simply your refusal to let the machine drive?
Wow, that is a staggering reality to confront.
It really is.
Well, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Take this analytical framework directly to your dashboards. Scrutinize your match types, audit those search terms, and build the boundaries the algorithm requires. Until next time, keep your intent high and your waste zero.